certain events that happen in your life that you never forget, and I seem to have a lot of them. But I remember my first speeding ticket. Now, none of you have had speeding tickets, so this probably doesn't apply to you, but if you've had a speeding ticket, you probably remember the first one you got. I remember my first one. I was in my late 20s. I was married, but I didn't have any children yet. And I was on a project in northern Arizona coming back to Phoenix on a freeway called the Beeline Highway. And there was a new section that they had just moved from a two-lane road to a big, wide-open, four-lane section of road. And I was coming back, and I was in a truck that I was not familiar with. This was a company truck. And I came up over the hill, and I saw the policeman sitting there with his speed gun. And there was absolutely nothing I could do. I looked down and realized I was speeding. So what do you think I did? I slowed down. That's exactly right. Maybe if I slow down, I will not get a ticket. It did not work. I slowed down and passed him with my head down, looking like a sheepish little young man. And after I passed him, the lights started to turn on, and he pulled out onto the freeway or onto this highway, and he started following me. He said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" And honestly, I had no idea how fast I was going, but I'm pretty sure I was going fast. And he told me, this was back when the speed limit was 55 miles an hour. I was doing, he said, 72. That's 17 miles an hour over the speed limit. Is that right? Yeah, 17 miles an hour over the speed limit. So he said, "I'm going to give you a ticket." And so he gave me my very, very, very first ticket. And I was very angry, because it was not my fault. I was in a foreign car. I was on a stretch of roadway I was not familiar with. And it was, you know, it was a narrow two-lane highway. And then it opened up into this big, huge four-lane stretch of road. And how could you not speed? Which is why the policeman was probably standing there waiting for me, because he probably was able to make his quota of speeding tickets, if that is true. I don't know if that's true. If you're a police officer and you know whether or not there's such a thing as quotas, you have to tell me, because I don't know. I've heard stories about that being true. So I drove away with my speeding ticket in hand, very upset. But I wasn't that upset, because I knew that at some level, our society, our world has to have rules, right? If you don't have rules, then you get anarchy. And anarchy is a horrible thing. Anarchy is that condition where anything goes, you can do anything you want, you can hurt anybody you want, and you all know what that looks like, because Hollywood always comes out with movies every year about what a society would look like under anarchy. And we don't want that. And so getting a speeding ticket is a small price to pay to follow the world's order. But it only works if there's justice in the world. It only works if there is at some level some way that when you break the rules, you will be punished. And we call that justice. So while I was angry over the ticket, I was not necessarily angry over the fact that there is justice in the world. Because the speeding ticket was the small price I had to pay to make sure that there was order in the world. Justice is actually hardwired into us. We want a just world. We want a world where things are fair, and if you break the law, you are punished. It seems to be some way that God has created us in the world. That's how he created us. And we can tell that by looking at our story today from Genesis 3. We all have heard the story over and over and over again about Adam and Eve. But I want to focus on verses 9 and 10. The Lord called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Because he was hiding. And Adam said, "I heard the sound of your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself. Now think about this. Why was he hiding? What was going on in his life? We all know the story, right? God put him in the garden. We just said it in the children's message. And he said, don't eat from that one tree. Pointed it out. That's the one. And then all of a sudden, he eats from the tree. And what is the first thing that Adam does? Is he hides from God. Think about that. That must mean that at some level, there's a level of justice and punishment that we know exists in our life, because why else would he hide? I mean, if you had a great relationship, if you knew that something, that God loved you, why would you hide? And yet, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, the first thing they did is hide, because they knew that there would be a punishment. It was embedded into their life. They knew that they had wronged God, and so they tried to get out of it. It's like me when I was driving down that road, right? I knew that I had failed the speeding test and that I was going to get a punishment. And so I hang my head, try to be perfect, try to avoid the police officer, but to no avail. That's what happens. He knew that he would sin. And when we sin, we know we need to make amendments. We need to make amends for those sins. We know that in a just world, that when we fail God, at some level, we have to atone for the sins that we have. And we know what this is called. It is called religion. And every religion follows this, all right? Every religion around the world says that when you fail and you don't live up to the standard that has been set, at some level, there must be a punishment. It's just the way that we're hardwired. So, for example, if you're Buddhist, you have to follow the Eightfold Path. If you're Hindu, right, there's a concept called karma. I'm sure you've all heard of the concept called karma, which is if you do evil to somebody else, at some level, evil will be done back to you. There was a man who had robbed a house in Belgium, Antwerp, Belgium. And he robbed the house, he had all this stuff, he was fleeing out of the house, and he didn't know where he went down this alley, and all of a sudden he's at this 8-foot fence. And he realized that if he could get over this 8-foot fence, that all would be good. So he tries and scales up over this 8-foot fence, gets all the stuff over, lands. Turns out that he's in the state prison. That's karma, right? We like justice when justice is served. That's the Hindu version of it, karma. Muslims have the code of law. Jewish has the covenant. And they're common across all cultures, across everywhere around the world. I have always called it the religion of X, Y, and Z, which is you need to do X, and you need to do Y, and you need to do Z. And if you can follow all those things, then life is good for you. But if you break those laws, then things are not good for you. And every religion follows the religion of X, Y, and Z. There's only a problem. None of us can follow X, Y, and Z. We just can't do it. In the Jewish law, the way that they did it was they would set the speed limit at 45 miles an hour so that you would never, ever be tempted to go faster than that. They took the law and they said, this is the standard that God has, but we're going to set the standard 2 bars lower than that because, or 2 bars higher, because we know that if we can keep that, then the occasional time where we may trespass and go over the line, at least we're still on God's law. And that works great. It's awesome. And they did keep the law very, very well. But the problem is, and this is what we know about human nature. The problem is you come over the hill, and all of a sudden it's a 4-lane freeway, a 4-lane highway, and you kind of lose track of the fact that the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, and it opens up in front of you, and all of a sudden you're going 55.00001 miles per hour. And you think, well, that's surely that's still, you know, the integer of 55 points. I'm okay. The problem is that none of us can keep the law. Period. And God always has justice for when we can't keep the law. Justice is a concept and a way that God lives. He has to be a just God. There is no way around it. When we go before God, He can't not be a just God. We expect it. We want it. We know that the world will be messed up without it. And so we demand justice. We want justice. There has to be justice in the world for the world to make sense. Problem is, we can't always live a perfect life. None of us can. And so justice is a problem. Here's what H.L. Mencken said. He said, injustice is relatively easy to bear. What stings is justice. Injustice is relatively easy to bear. What stings is justice. Because we know that justice will sting. What do you do? Well, we have a problem. We have a big problem. We know that we can't keep the law, that justice has to live as the eternal order of the universe, and yet we know we can't follow it. But there's also something else that we know. And it comes from the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was asked, how do you pray? He says, well, pray like this. And he reached up his hands to the heaven, and he said, Father, who art in heaven. In other words, God, the creator of the universe, is our Father, is our dad. The word that Jesus used, Abba, is actually like that intimate father relationship, which means that God loves us just like we love our own children. I've become a grandfather, and my one grandchild just turned one 2 weeks ago. And it's wonderful. We get to FaceTime all the time, and she's standing by herself all the time. And so my daughter got on FaceTime, and we got there, and she said, watch how she can stand. But she didn't want to stand that day. So we didn't get to see her stand just yet. But my daughter keeps remarking all the time. She's like, I just can't believe how much I love her. She's so wonderful. I never, ever, ever thought I'd have these kind of feelings towards this young child. I'm just in shock by it. And those of you that are parents, you know what I'm talking about. It's one thing on paper, but then when they show up in the world and you get to hold them in their arms and you get to look at them, it's like, man, I didn't even know I could love like this. This is so amazing. And that's the love that God has for us. He looks down at each and every one of us and says, man, I didn't know I could love as much as I love. And yet, there's this little problem, and the problem is justice. God has to be a just God. He has to follow the laws that He's created. When there is a crime, there has to be a punishment. So how do you get out of this? Well, one thing that you could do is say, well, I think I'll just overlook it. I know that it was maybe just one little instance. He didn't mean to do it. He was going 55.001 miles an hour. It's close enough. I'll overlook it. God can't do that. He's a just God. He can't overlook it. So the alternative, of course, is that He has to give us the punishment that we were dealt with, which is when He told him, do not eat of the tree of knowledge. When you do, you shall die. And He had to let that happen. But God loves us. He doesn't want us to be eternally separated from Him. And so He put a plan into place. And the plan is actually in Genesis. Just right there in verse 15, He says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And then he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That is a reference to Jesus. The only way that God can maintain justice in the world, that He can be a just God and keep that system going and not violate it, but yet still love us, the only way He could do that was if he himself could be the sacrifice for the sins that we committed, so that justice can be maintained, so that he can continue to be a just God, and yet there is a payment and a punishment for the sins that we create. There has to be a punishment. There has to. In order for there to be a just world, there has to be pain and a punishment. But God didn't want us to have the eternal punishment, so he sent his Son into the world to take the punishment upon him. And Christianity is the only religion around the world where this holds true. In every other religion, you have to come up with the punishment yourself. But in Christianity, God became flesh and dwelt among us so that he could take the punishment upon himself. Because God loves us unconditionally. He loves each and every one of us without barriers, without conditions. Doesn't matter how many times you break the law. He's a loving Father who cares for you deeply. But there has to be a punishment. When I was about 3 or 4 months ago, I had to take Jennifer's car into town, and I'm sure I told this story, but I was not paying attention, and I was going north on Camino Loma Alta, and I came up over the hill, and there was a policeman sitting there, and I looked down, and I don't know what the speed limit is on Camino Loma Alta. I'm sure it's 45, 50, I don't know. I was going like 110, I don't know. And I didn't come to a complete stop, and I didn't have my registration because it had expired, because the emissions test wasn't passing and actually was taking it to get emissioned. The policeman saw me go by and goes behind me, and I'm driving perfectly because I see him. Turn left, go on the Old Spanish Trail, and he's still behind me, and it's like, man, just turn around, please. Follow me for like 3 miles, you know, it's like, oh, ha, ho, ha. Finally turns on his lights, pulls me over, and he goes, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And I said, you know, there could be any number of reasons why you're pulling me over. He says, well, tell me. And so I went through the whole list, and he shook his head, and he says, hold on. So he took my license and registration, went back in his car. And I'm like, you know, this is, I haven't had that many tickets in my life. So a ticket's not going to really, except for the fact it's probably going to cost a fortune. And if he gets me all three, oh my goodness, it's going to cost a big fortune. He comes back and he says, I'll tell you what, just drive carefully and have a good day. Oh man, I was so happy. But as I was driving away, I was wondering, is somebody else going to have to pay for this? Does he have a quota that he has to meet? And somebody else has to pay that quota, not me? Or is he going to get to the office that day and they're going to say, how many tickets did you give? And he's going to go, I didn't give any. They're going to like, well, you had to have given one. Come on, what's wrong with you? Like, no, I didn't see anything. Nobody broke the law. Amazing, it's bail. Come on, you know those people. They don't break the law over there. Did he take the punishment upon himself? I don't know. I just don't know the answer. Because I know there has to be justice in the world. But what I do know is that for us, we can never keep the law. There is a concept of justice. And justice is getting what you deserve. And we don't get what we deserve. Because Jesus took it upon himself. And for that, we give him all the thanks and the praise and the glory. In his name, amen.